This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With me, Dylan Hafer.
Hold on, check me, boo.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I am Dylan Hafer. I'm coming to you today, as I'm sure you can hear, with a little bit of a scratchy voice situation. That's partly why I didn't record an episode yesterday on Thursday, but the real reason why I wanted to wait and record on Friday was because last night we had an epic night of television, and to be honest, I haven't even had time to process what happened on Bravo last night. Miami reunion, Summer House. I was busy on Peacock, where we got a simultaneous drop of The Traitors season finale and The Traitors reunion, both of which clocked in at a little over an hour, so there was a lot of TV happening last night, and so we are going to dive into the Traitors finale and reunion. But first, we have an interesting update in the mysterious case of Andy's cocaine usage, as alleged by Leo McSweeney. Not a huge surprise here. Andy Cohen, via his lawyer, has responded to Leah's lawsuit with a letter that is basically threatening further legal action if she doesn't retract her, quote, false, offensive, and defamatory statements. This is kind of what I was expecting. And looking through this letter, it says virtually every allegation made by Leah is categorically false. And here's the thing that I kind of called last week. I'm sure I'm not the only one, but quote, the allegations were obviously made up by you and or your client to achieve maximum tabloid clickbait value in the hopes of weaponizing these false allegations, along with other lies that permeate the complaint as leverage to force an unjustified settlement. It will not. Instead, this conduct only subjects you and your client to independent and substantial legal exposure. It uses the phrase media frenzy that Leah and her attorney allegedly created to force a settlement between her and Andy Cohen. So this is exactly what this lawsuit sounded like to me. And to be specific, I don't have a strong opinion on whether Leah's telling the truth or whether Andy's telling the truth. But what I immediately picked up on was that Andy doing cocaine with housewives, allegedly, doesn't really have anything to do with how Leah feels she was mistreated during production of The Real Housewives of New York City and her drinking and all, you know, the environment and all of that. Andy wasn't there for that. He's not doing coke with Ramona on the Hamptons trip, not even allegedly. I don't even think that's what she's claiming. So right off the bat, when I saw this lawsuit from Leah and that Andy's sort of alleged personal habits were being called into question, it feels like a little bit of a smokescreen to get more attention, to get Andy wrapped up in this lawsuit that really is more about the production company and maybe some other network execs or something like that. But Andy is really calling it like I saw it, and I think that this is it's a strong rebuttal, and I'm curious what will really happen here, because Andy clearly, based on this letter, has no interest in paying Leah, in giving her some sort of settlement, in making this go away with money. I don't know if everybody else that's named in the lawsuit feels the same way. I think it's probably smart for Andy, as much as he can, to distance himself from the other parties named in the lawsuit, because, like I've said, at the end of the day, he's not really involved with or responsible for what's happening on the ground during the production of these shows. I mean, I'm sure he should want the conditions to be as good as possible, but it's not him that's controlling that. Seeing this response, it wasn't surprising, but it sets us up for sort of an interesting next phase of this whole thing. And I'll be very curious to see kind of how it develops further, because, you know, I don't think that Leah is going to just be like, okay, yeah, you're right. Never mind. Sorry. Like, she came out of the gate strong enough that I feel like she really, she had to have anticipated this response from Andy. And I feel like she must have some sort of end game plan for how this is going to work in her favor. And that might not mean getting money from Andy, but that might mean getting money from Shed or the production, any, you know, from somebody else that she's attaching to this. But we'll see. We'll see. I think, you know, Andy's in the middle of like 3 or 4 different reunions that are airing right now. I don't think that he is in a particularly precarious position. I've had some people asking me, wondering if I think that Andy will sort of like survive this wave of accusations and I guess negative press. Survive in terms of like his job position, not in terms of like, will he physically make it? And I really just feel like, yeah, I don't think that this is really on an existential level. I don't think that this is something that the head honchos at NBC Universal are super concerned about. I mean, I went to the taping of the Kelly Clarkson show when Wendy and Candace and Andy were on, and it was like a day after Brandy's lawsuit came out. And it's like, nobody there is thinking about that. If anything, it's the opposite, because you've got housewives sitting on the couch being like, Father Andy, we love Andy. Like, damn near the entire Real Housewives of Miami cast was posting carousels on their Instagram feeds of pictures of them with Andy, talking about how he's the best boss, the best friend, the best coworker, whatever. It's similar to what was happening in the fall, summer, fall, whatever time is a flat circle, when Bethany was really coming out strong with her reality union, Bravo reckoning, XYZ. She never actually was able to turn the tide of current talent speaking in favor of what she was talking about. She got some sort of like disgruntled ex Bravo celebrities to support her cause. But we never got to a point where we were seeing current housewives being like, yeah, you know what? We should be in a union. And I think it's going to be similar with this, where the ceiling on what's going to happen here is not going to be very high if the only people that are willing to endorse this like problematic narrative, or not, the narrative's not problematic, the narrative, endorse the narrative that problematic things were happening, are 2 or 3 people who are no longer on the show, have proven to be somewhat unreliable narrators, and, you know, in the case of Brandi Glanville, is just like objectively an HR nightmare. So I think that's kind of where I'm landing with that for now. We'll see about any like future updates. I feel like we've all had that moment where you're at somebody's wedding and you're looking around the food, the venue, the music, the overall vibe, and you're making like that mental checklist of, if I were planning a wedding right now, maybe you are, maybe you aren't, what would I want to copy from this? What would I want to change? What would I want to tweak? Well, I've been a part of my fair share of weddings over the years, and I know just how stressful the process can be. You go from that newly engaged bliss to overwhelmed by invitation paper and flower colors in the blink of an eye. But using Zola helps with wedding planning from start to finish and makes every decision easier, so you can stay in your bliss. With Zola, you can plan your entire wedding in one convenient place. From the day you get engaged and search for the venue, to the day you send out your save the dates, make your registry, and even taste your cake, Zola has literally everything you need to make the whole process super easy and even maybe enjoyable. There's even a 5-star app that helps you plan on the go or on your couch. Zola helps couples plan the wedding they really want, with tons of unique features and personalized recommendations based on a couple's preference. years, every Zola wedding is as unique as the couple planning it. They've thought of everything you'll need and have built every tool to get you to I Do, including customized checklists to get you moving, keep you on track, and prepare you for what's next. Start planning at Zola.com. That's Zola.com.
Summer is fast approaching, which means more social events, more weddings to attend, more nights on the town, and hopefully more vacations. That's why I'm so thankful for today's sponsor, Honeylove, for covering us with the best shapewear. With Honeylove, you can feel your best even when you're wearing less. They've revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. Plus, they're the only shapewear that won't ever roll down no matter how much you groove on the dance floor. For a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with our exclusive link, honeylove.com/MIA. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/MIA. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling superpower short is the go-to. It has targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. The superpower short is helping ladies everywhere sculpt and smooth from stomach to thigh by offering just the perfect amount of compression. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. Treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/MIA. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/MIA. After you purchase, they'll ask where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them we sent you. The summer vibes are just getting started, honeys. Shape your life with Honeylove.
Let's talk about Traitors. So coming into this final episode of Traitors, we had just seen Phaedra banished, and Phaedra's banishment was a little disappointing. And I think just in the sense that she saw the writing on the wall, she got to a point where she was sort of willing to go along with it. Kate had strong feelings about her way of going about it, but it was what it was. Phaedra had a great season. I think this is still a very positive check in her column. But going into this episode, Kate returns to the turret alone. She chooses to murder Sheree. And this, we're spoiling the Traitors finale, by the way. Just like, go watch it if you haven't yet. The decision to murder Sheree, I understand what Kate was going for. I would have murdered Trishelle, no questions asked. I think that Kate was focused in that moment more on what murder would sort of confuse the other people in the house versus what murder would potentially help end the game in a better place for her. Because I think Trishelle, as much as I can't fucking stand Trishelle, and we will have the time for Trishelle in a few minutes, don't you worry. As much as I have all those feelings, she played a really strong game throughout. And there were numerous times when I felt like she was one of, if not the most obvious choice of who should get murdered. And they never took the chance when they had it. And she fucking won. It's not like, oh, we'll get her out down the line. Kate, when she had that chance, I really think she should have taken it. Because even though she was like, oh, well, it'll throw suspicion off of me if another Bravo person gets murdered because they think we're working together. Sure, maybe. But at the end of the day, there's only a few people left. MJ had a shield. I don't think CT was ever really in danger. I think Sandra was, it made sense to keep her around because obviously some people had suspicions about her. Trishelle was not somebody who was really going to be that easily led astray. And so I think if Kate had murdered Trishelle, I think there would have been less of a compass for going forward after that. Maybe Kate would have gotten banished at the round table, but maybe there would have been more chaos. Maybe it would have been like, wait, but I thought CT and Trishelle were friends, but maybe if CT thought that Trishelle was going to get him out, like, I don't know. But alas, Sheree was murdered. Considering she was sort of clueless throughout, I think it's a feat that she made it to the final six. But, you know, that brings us to the last mission. I'm sorry. I cannot pay attention worth a damn during these missions. I swear, like, Alan is explaining the rules, and it's like my ears just zip right up. I'm like, what? There's detours. There's a boat that you have to take to another boat. And then there's all these different amounts for the prize pot. Like, what is happening? And they only have an hour. And of course they get there right on time. Okay. This is something that I have grown a little frustrated with over the course of the season. I don't know if it's something they're doing with the editing or if they're monkeying around with the timing of these missions, but every goddamn time it looks like they're not going to make it. And then they make it with like 3 seconds left on the clock. Every single time. They don't always get the full amount of money in the prize pot, but they always complete the like main part of the mission right under the gun. And I just, a note for season three, this season was so strong. The stakes start to feel a little low if it feels like these people are incapable of losing. We have bumbling idiots. We have people who can't run, can't swim, can't follow directions. And every single time they make it to the boat, they know how to lift a sail. They're getting out of the tunnel just in time. They're putting together the map with 5 seconds left on the clock. Like, it starts to strain credulity. And I know that this is like a dumb game, but I just think that it would feel, every once in a while, I would like to see these people returning to the castle with their tail between their legs. Like, fuck. What the hell we gonna do now? In the words of Miss Juicy. I just think that would, like, we're all grown-ups here. We can have a little bit of uncertainty. Not everybody needs to win every time. I think that would spice up the next season if they could just, I don't want to be like, oh, you're lying to us. Because if they're not, then I would feel bad. But it just feels a little convenient and a little stale. But back at the house, the big conundrum is whether Kate is going to be able to whip another vote or two away from her and onto Sandra. MJ really feels like she can trust Kate. Sweet, beloved MJ. God help her. Our little lamb. Our little Persian lamb. Again, we'll get to that. So they're, you know, they're riding together. They're going to vote for Sandra. CT and Trishelle, they're thinking Kate. But then Kate does something. This is, I think, Kate's best work. When she plants in the ear that it's like, oh, well, we were thinking Sandra to CT. And he's like, yeah, okay, maybe. And then Kate says to Sandra, well, CT said your name. So all of a sudden, we are locked in this weird vortex of Sandra and Kate and CT. And then Trishelle is like, well, what are you talking about? I thought we were talking about Kate. And now you're saying Sandra. And what is happening? Meanwhile, MJ over here, she's sitting pretty for now. Trishelle's not getting a vote. CT's not getting a vote. But this final round table, it's pretty spicy. And this was something that I was worried about. I was worried that when we got down to the last bit of the season, that things would sort of just flame out a little bit. We saw Phaedra kind of just retreat last episode. And I was worried that, you know, things would kind of fizzle toward the end of the season. And while I may not be super happy with the end result, there was drama until the last second. Because when when Trishelle sees the writing on the wall and votes for Sandra, and Kate only gets one vote from Sandra, that was a great moment. Because we expected to be on the fence with CT, whether he was going to vote Kate or Sandra. And the fact that it ended up being Trishelle, that was a gag. Sandra is sent home. She is a faithful. We go out to the fire of truth. I love that Alan does these little like exit interviews with everyone before they go to the fire. It's like, so CT, like, how you doing? How you feeling? Congrats. But not quite. But maybe. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week. Grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite. Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. In orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. The fire of truth is, it's a little tricky. I don't know. Like, I get that you need something like flashy to end the season. But there's just like, there's something about this format that just doesn't quite, it feels a little bit like convoluted. That it's like, okay, so you banish one person inside at the table and then you go outside and you could banish another person or you could not. And then if you do, you have to do it again. Like it just, it feels like there's a lot of steps. Whereas, like, if you're on a show like Survivor or Big Brother, it's like you get down to the final whatever, and then people vote, and then there's a winner. I don't know. I'm not being helpful here because, like, I don't have a better suggestion. I just think it could be refined a little bit. I think that's something that we've seen over the course of this season in a few different areas, that this game is so compelling and has so much potential, but there are definitely things that could be refined a little. And some of the rules and some of the gameplay, this season, for example, they found the traitors a lot more successfully than they did on last season. So, like that one episode where they went to the, whatever the like, bonfire of the soul or whatever the fuck Alan called it, and they were lighting people's torches to protect them. Like, that felt like sort of a last minute, like, oh fuck, we can't vote out another traitor this quick because Peter didn't accept his recruitment. So let's do this other thing instead of a banishment. And then similarly, when Kate got recruited and she got the ultimatum, that felt like another sort of like cover your ass made up rule where it was like, okay, we like need the traitor to accept the position. So now we have to do this. And I get that in any game like this, there are going to be different like permutations and you have to account for those. But I think just like some of the rules could be polished a little. But anyway, we get to the fire, and this is another misstep that I think Kate makes. Now, would she have been banished either way? Likely, yes. But her throwing in the green fire on the first round, it shows that you are a traitor, because like MJ says, Sheree got murdered last night. So there must still be a traitor, because we just banished Sandra and she was a faithful. So if Sandra was a faithful, then who murdered Sheree? And so I was a little disappointed that Kate didn't, I don't know if she didn't realize that, or like didn't kind of like do the math in that way, because no faithful would vote green on the first round unless they had just banished a traitor at the round table. I digress. So, you know, it was no surprise that Kate got banished. She sort of gave herself up in a roundabout way. I really thought, though, that the game was going to end there. I was like, I wasn't looking at how much time was left on the episode, which if I had, I think it was like 13 minutes. So, like, I could have guessed. But then as they're leading up to it, as they're picking out their, like, fire whatever things, I had this pit in my stomach. Because MJ is like so sure that they found all the traitors, so they're going to end the game and they're all going to win together. And it just hit me that MJ is about to get fucked. Because I looked at CT and I looked at Trishel. She was a little rat from day one. In the reunion, we talked about what happened with Peppermint. We had the camera trained on Trishel while Peppermint was talking about how people need to learn how to treat trans people from watching them on TV. And so when you show up and you're treated as an other and you're sent home before you even have a chance to get to know anyone, how it stings and how it feels like being in high school. And fucking John Bercow, a conservative politician, can I just say, I don't know his voting record on LGBTQ issues over in the UK, but he was a member of the Conservative Party, so that indicates something. He has the decency to at least say, I made a decision based on what I thought at the time. Do I regret it? Yes, and I'm sorry. Trishel doesn't say a fucking word. And that to me was worse than what happened at the bond, at the what, Fire of Truth? These names kill me. Trishel, if you want to be a gamer and you want to split the money two ways instead of three, I get it. Sure, whatever, fine. I get why MJ is mad, but I also get why you're greedy. But the fact that she sat there and didn't have a single fucking word for Peppermint, that is, like, to me, really revealing of her character as a person. And I don't have any qualms about saying this, because, like, who is Trishel Canatella in this world, as Yolanda Hadid would say? I'm never going to have her on this podcast. I'm never going to watch another show she's on. Who the fuck cares? But anyway, back to the Fire of Truth. Justice for Peppermint. They vote, and MJ is shook. She was so ready to just win with them. And that was what was hard about this, is that obviously you could tell that CT had complicated feelings and he voted for MJ. But Trishel was just like, yup. MJ was really struggling. She voted for Trishel. And then Trishel votes for CT. She's like, I just didn't know. I just wasn't sure. So then they're tied. They each get to, like, state their case, which is like, they're each just like, I'm a faithful. And they're all telling the truth. But then they have to vote again. And Trishel flips her vote and banishes MJ. It just made me sad. It just made me sad. Like, MJ, I thought, played so well this season. And I don't know. I think it would have been cool to see her win. But I get it. I get it. I think I get why MJ is mad. And I'm a little mad on behalf of MJ, clearly. But at the same time, I don't think that Trishelle and CT need to, like, apologize for their sins. I think we can all acknowledge that it was a dick move. But, you know, they didn't break the rules. They didn't, like, whatever. I think MJ was maybe a little naive to think that Rat Trishelle would be satisfied. Because MJ's whole thing was like, I felt like we completed the game by banishing all the traitors, so we all should win. Which I get. But alas, it was not to be. The reunion was fun. I think having it in just like 1 hour long episode, I think was a good call. I liked that it was a little spicy. Phaedra has a lot of feelings about Dan. Which, like, go off, sis. I don't... Fine with me. The Peter pals, you know, they get their little moment in the sun. Good for them. I felt like we had some nice stuff with Sandra and Parvati. I liked that. I don't know. It was a decent reunion. I thought Andy did a good job. I would love to see... I'm curious why they don't have Alan host the reunion. Maybe it's just because it's, like, Andy's thing and it's easy for him to do. Maybe it's an availability conflict. I don't know. It would be cool if Alan was there. They all like him so much, even if he wasn't hosting. I don't know. But I'm excited for this show to come back. I'm excited to come back next week, hopefully when I have more of a voice and talk about all the other exciting stuff that's been happening. But until then, thank you for listening. Don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. And be cool. Don't be all, like, uncool.
Mention It All is produced by Dylan Hafer, Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Rebecca Sousmacat. Editing by Jorge Morales-Pico. Social media by Dylan Hafer. Guest booking by Dylan Hafer and Ali Friedlander. Be sure to follow at Bravo by Betches on Instagram and Twitter.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.